Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Phoenix Room, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Tobacco on Main Street, Tom Cannon, proprietor.
I like that.
Westminster, Maryland, USA, I'm Johnny Midas.
Now Fumo.
And we smoke cigars.
We smoke them.
And this week we are smoking... Bam!
This guy.
The lighting is terrible. I gotta fix that. The Outcast. Outcast cigars. Be unique. Be yourself. Be an outcast. Look, I don't know what to say about the branding. I am unique. I am myself. And I'm not an outcast. In fact, I'm beating people off with a stick. I mean, I'm not beating people off. I'm beating people away from myself with a...
You just know, stop right there.
Anyway, the point is, you don't have to be an outcast. Like, just, if you embrace your natural, authentic self, that doesn't make you an outcast.
Be an outlier.
Yes, that's better.
Outcast, be an outlier. Yeah.
So, anyway, now that I'm done shitting all over the branding, what is this cigar? This is
an interesting cigar.
The Outcast cigar by Miami Cigar & Company, and this is the Robusto.
Yep.
Okay.
Robust.
This is... an MSRP of $10.50. It is a 5x50 True Robusto. So first of all, shout out to Miami Cigar and Company for actually naming the cigar what the Vitola fucking is.
Right, a Robusto. You know,
instead of,
This is a Robusto. It's 5.5x56, you know, or worse. This Vitola is called the Femme Chanson.
Yeah.
It's French for Robusto.
What should you call it? The cat's tongue or...
Well, okay, yeah.
Just some crazy shit.
I don't know what the cat is for.
We'll get
into that. But we need a cut and light. It is a cigar show. So, looking at this cigar before we light it up, you got yours in the Sallow, mine is out. I like the Sallow, actually, on this one.
Dude, this is gorgeous.
This is another cigar that looks great.
I would pick this up if I saw this in the lineup.
It is a crystal clear Sallow. It's not super creased,
mm-mm.
And it almost looks like a glass tubo from the old days.
Yeah, it does.
I think it looks pretty good.
Factory UPC.
Yep, factory UPC. Out of the cello, you have got this gorgeous Maduro wrapper, modeled, different colors on the same leaf. I don't see any construction issues off the bat, which is good. The band is, it's really unique. It's a little, I'll put it in the same category as, like, Superfly. Like, there's nothing wrong with the graphic design. I just don't think it goes with cigars.
I kind of like it, though, because it's different.
Totally different. Stands out.
Yeah.
Does not stand out like a sore thumb, though.
No.
But it does stand out.
And Superfly, of course, was kind of cool.
The Superfly, yeah, I didn't think the graphic design went with cigars.
Yeah, and what was that other one with the TV screen? With the multicolor?
Oh, yeah, Caldwell had one.
With Alec Bradley.
Alec Bradley did. Yeah, Alec Bradley did.
Yeah.
One of the boys made that.
But,
it was Alec Bradley.
But the palette on that went with cigars.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually cigar-adjacent earth tone color palette, so it was interesting. Black ribbon on the foot. Don't forget to remove the ribbon before lighting, and you might think we're joking. We're not. Usually it's, I forgot, not somebody doesn't know any better. But if you don't know any better, or if you're not paying attention, take the ribbon off. Yeah. If you melt that to the foot of your cigar, throw it out and start over. Don't even bother trying to rescue that son of a gun.
This will light on fire.
It will. It is petroleum-based. Also... Don't put it in a fucking ashtray.
It stinks.
Oh, it stinks. And do not put it in the ashtray or anywhere near flame. That one goes in the trash.
By the way, I have been told it tastes nasty by the person that lit that in front of me with the foot still on there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh.
I did that one time with a Fuente. Mm-hmm. In my defense, it was pitch black in the lounge, and I was drunk. and I forgot about it. And it was a Hemingway Oscuro with the like dark red ribbon around the dark wrapper. And anyway, that's how I know.
Okay.
It is time for the official cutting. I am cutting with my Craftsman's Bench open-ended double guillotine, and you have one as well.
Yes, I do.
Your default cutters. Here, we'll cut up here.
Okay.
For the camera. The official cutting brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors.
The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do.
Clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed. Okay, that was actually an interesting cut.
Yeah.
If you cut a lot of cigars, you can feel the difference when you're clipping.
Mm-hmm.
This one, the wrapper leaf was tough.
Yeah, it was.
But it's not filled as tightly as like Fuente, for example. It sponged a little bit. Yeah. So that's an interesting combo.
It's an interesting...
Often associated with a hard draw, but we're about to find out.
Let's cold draw.
Cold draw?
Cold draw.
Sure, let's cold draw.
Let's figure it out. Yo.
Dude, is that a sweetened fucking wrapper?
That is like a chocolatey sweet wrapper. We're about to find out.
This is a fucking fancy Tatiana.
This is your first.
They flavored the tip.
We're going to light up. I've got a ST DuPont gold-plated dual flame flat flame. And you have got
a Rocky Patel leather wrapped.
Oh yeah, the leather. Gold tone with the red crocodile leather.
I figured because it's Miami Cigar Company, gold that for does the kinda, Miami
yeah,
look. You
yeah,
know?
Like that does kind of have the
say hello to my little
cowboy.
Friend. Yeah,
I wouldn't know anything about that.
No.
All right, the official lighting brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee.
The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us.
And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor. Okay, so absolutely 1,000% sweetened cap.
Yeah.
Not even any doubt about it. And I will add that once you light this up, the flavor of the initial draws tastes 100% like a Tatiana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever had a Tatiana.
Oh, yeah, I've had plenty of them.
Okay.
You know what this one reminds me of? Tom, do you know all the Tatiana flavors off the top of your head?
Well,
like, if I mentioned it, you would know?
Try.
I think this one tastes like Groovy Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
100%. Okay.
100% Groovy Blue.
Yeah, that's their best seller.
Yeah. Yes. Tatianas are actually kind of nice. I know you don't like them, but like...
Well, we're going to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to talk about it.
Great bubble yum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so this is the Outcast Cigar by Miami Cigar and Company. It has a Brazilian Cuban seed wrapper, so that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Most companies that advertise a Brazilian wrapper, they're talking about like Arapiraca or, you know, something like CEO's Amazon Basin.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And it's like, no, this is Cuban seed, but we grew it in Brazil.
Yeah.
Brazil has some tobacco areas, but the vast majority of Brazil is a terrible, terrible climate to grow
right.
tobacco. And if you're not familiar, there's a big chunk of rainforest in Brazil.
Yeah.
And sort of. There was.
There was.
Now, there still is. But rainforest is a terrible place. Terrible place.
For agriculture.
To grow, yes, for agriculture. But anyway, and that's why they clear to farm.
Yeah.
But the ground that's left behind has a very high level of acidity because of the ratio of trees...
Yeah.
To not, yes, keeps the sunlight off the floor.
Yeah.
And so the soil doesn't develop great for agriculture.
Right. Except for that special area in Brazil.
Well, the Earth, the yeah. special Earth that the, what was it, the Mayans or something, or Aztecs made?
No. That's Huesa.
The Olmecs, the Toltecs, the Inca.
Yeah, the Incas.
Somebody, they had this black Earth.
That's special, and everybody's like, how the fuck did it get here?
Yeah, like...
It's, aliens, I'm calling it.
It's a self-repairing,
yeah.
self-nurturing soil that has this, like... Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, the binder is Ecuadorian Sumatra. The filler is Dominican. This is the Robusto. It's a 5x50. It's an MSRP of 1050. And here's the... My very first comment is... The flavored sweetness on the cap is very disappointing, because if you ignore that flavor which sticks to your lips, this is a really good cigar.
Seriously, I was about to mention that. Like, the tobacco is great.
The tobacco is great. Like, if they didn't flavor this cigar, I'd be like, holy shit. I don't know what they're thinking. And unfortunately, that stuff, it sticks to your tongue and your lips and just coats your palate, which is a reason that I don't like...
Mm-hmm.
flavor tip cigars or whatever. I also don't like the fact that they don't just advertise this out of the gate as
add flavor.
This is a fucking flavor. This is a big Tatiana.
Right. Okay, I think this is what happened. All their aging room, their dedicated aging room was already mixed in with all these flavored sticks. They just stuck it in there.
No, I mean, that could be, but this cap has got fucking flavoring on it. Yeah. It's coming off on my lips.
Yeah.
It's gross. I don't like it. I hate killing great tobacco that way. You know, and hey, there's people that just fucking love sweet tips. And if you do, you might like this cigar. So here's what we're going to do. I got that out of my system, and now I am not going to talk about it.
Okay.
We're going to smoke this cigar for what it is.
All right.
Can
I give you notes besides the sweetness?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, despite exactly what you said, this is a great stick, and it has some awesome notes, but that sweetness is really overpowering them. But you can pick them out. So.
Rule number one, do not lick your fucking lips smoking this cigar. Once it gets on your tongue, and then you rub your tongue on your palate, it ruins everything. You know what? Good thing I wore my long tail shirt. Ugh. I'm just wiping that off. Yeah.
All right.
Huge fucking disappointment, only because, God, I want to taste this tobacco, actually. It's really good.
Yeah, seriously.
Tell me what you're tasting.
Okay, so chocolate nuts. Not like chocolate, but chocolatey nuts.
Chocolate-covered nuts.
Yeah.
Yep, yes.
I'm not sure what nut yet. Like, not a peanut, but like an almond, maybe. Like this, I'm guessing because of the sweetness, like a sweet hay, sweet grass. Like, what you give the horses, not the cows, by the way. There's a difference. Like a anise or licorice-adjacent flavor. That one's a little tougher because I'm not sure if that's a sweetness creeping in.
I know what you're saying. I don't know how to peg that flavor. I know exactly what you're tasting.
Yeah, there, it's right there.
And it's stronger on the retrohale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that flavor is. A lot of... Maduro's have it, though.
Mm-hmm. And, like, some infused oil. Like a diffuser oil type.
That's, yeah.
That's how they get the flavor to stick.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like.
Yeah, I know. I felt that. I was like, yep, yeah. There it is.
Like, if you take that out... Because it doesn't taste like
this cigar would be dope as shit. They need to redo this.
Dude, they need to redo it for real.
We're calling redo this.
Okay, so here's my tasting notes. Instead of, like, chocolate-covered nuts, I have chocolate-covered butter.
Okay.
Chocolate and butter.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. Did you taste the vanilla?
I was going to say espresso. I wasn't sure. Because I couldn't... separate that from the sweetness.
I don't know. I think there's a little coffee-ish flavor in there, but there's a vanilla component that's fairly strong, but not fake.
Right.
This is like actual tobacco flavor. And I think it's also interesting to note what is not present in this cigar. There is not even a hint of spice or pepper.
No.
Not even a hint.
By the way, this is definitely a dyed wrapper, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100% dyed.
I was going to say that, because that's not a regular shade.
Yes, this is 100% a dyed wrapper. However, no spice, no pepper, but it's not weak. I think I'd put strength at a 6.
Yeah, I was going to say 5 or 6. I'm in between.
Yeah.
By the way, a little hint of cedar component.
Yeah, there is. I can taste that, too.
Was it a cedar box?
No, it's like a paper box.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's Tatiana.
But it is kind of, I have to agree. Normally, it'd be like, all right, you're probably just shitting on it because it's flavored and you don't like flavored, but not that it's ruined, but it would be fucking 10 times.
It detracts from, like, this is quality tobacco.
It would definitely be better without it.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. You know, some people really like this stuff. Now, there's a little harshness in the back of your throat. You will always get that with a flavored cigar. Always. And that is the, like you said, the infused oils or whatever, they get that flavor to stick with. That burning does that, which is another reason that I don't like infused flavored and sweetened cigars. So, this, the overall cigar, if they just stuck with the tobacco, I feel like it would be a better cigar if they just stuck with the wrapper binder filler. The dyed wrapper.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the dyed wrapper.
Mm-mm.
Not a fan of the sweetening tip. I feel like they brought the quality down with that. So that's my initial comments on that. If you like high quality tobacco and you like a sweet tip cigar, this is the one for you, man.
Yeah, this isn't bad.
So more about that and the Groovy Blue and other stuff later. For now, it is time for socials and surprises. You are our marketing plan. If you think we add value to the cigar community, please like, share, subscribe, comment, whatever you can to boost that algo. Nice 5-star review. And we'll beat that algo together. We appreciate it. Congratulations to Daniel Cooligan and FU2 Matey for following on YouTube. Welcome to the tribe. And of course, we're also on Spotify for video. And if you're listening to the audio, anywhere that fine podcasts are well cast. Email of the week actually is a DM on Instagram, jankstrom78. Love the show. Entertainment value is high, and so is the knowledge I get about cigars in the industry. I really enjoyed the Top Shelf Sip and Smoke episode. Any chance of doing more live-type shows? Much love. Well, Jankstrom78, first of all, thank you for that. In terms of, like, streaming live events, we do have a couple of things coming up at the end of the month, and surprise, surprise. So I got to be a little tight-lipped about it. But we got some pretty awesome stuff coming your way, so stay tuned. And we will get that to you. Really excited about the Steak and Cigar Dinner. We plan on streaming that.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it. We've had some pretty decent engagement on social, but be sure to jump on Instagram. Be sure to jump on Facebook and check us out, connect. Just remember, this is your show. If you go to the show notes, there is our link tree, including a contact us button. That will take you to burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Drop us a line. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see more of, a cigar you'd like us to smoke, and we will do our best to make it happen. This is a consumer podcast for you, the cigar consumer, and we want to make it your show.
Absolutely. All right, so what I found, it says it's aromatic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing they definitely infuse something.
Yeah,
because you just fucking flavored. They're not saying what it is, but they're like, it's aromatic. So,
yeah. Yeah, I just wish they were like, this is a regular Vitola Tatiana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just be fucking upfront about it or something.
Yeah.
So
these are what somebody else said. French vanilla instant coffee, cocoa butter lotion. So that's where that. You're pretty spot on. So we're pretty good on our.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're fucking great.
But also, I think it means that the flavors are pretty, like, predominant.
Yeah. And this person's also saying a sweet cap.
Yeah.
So it's they're definitely infusing something because the company's even saying it without saying it. It's aromatic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
Man, good mouthful of smoke. I would say this is mid full body.
Yeah,
I like the kind of chewy smoke. Wow. Okay. So, interesting smoke, and you know, price is interesting too. Like $10.50 for a Robusto.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, we're in that age where that is actually a decent price for Robusto. A lot of new cigars coming out. We said the new Toro is $13 is the break even. Mm-hmm. Right, 13 and under is affordable.
Yeah.
13 or over 13 is, you know, getting more expensive.
Yeah.
That's like normal now.
Yep.
So I see that the price point reflects where we're at in the industry. I think it's time for a break. And when we come back, we will do our tobacconist tip of the week. Don't go away. Tip of the week with Angel Solorio.
All right, tip of the week. So since we're talking about flavored cigars and stuff, definitely have some lemon water handy and maybe a napkin to help you wash away those flavors, especially if you're going to smoke something like this and then switch to a regular cigar. Or if we weren't doing this, probably what you would have done is gotten rid of this stick and gotten something else and not realized that it was a sweet stick. So that's a good way to wash away a flavor.
Would it pair well with limoncello?
It would pair well with whiskey and a different cigar.
See?
All right, so fair disclosure, I did smoke this before the show.
Yeah.
So, it, you know.
But it was probably still the same reaction.
I'm acting a little bit, but I'm trying to act out, you know, what my initial reaction was smoking it.
But it was probably your same reaction anyway.
Yes. But you will notice I'm drinking my 2C premium coffee a little bit faster than normal because there's two big drawbacks to flavored cigars. The first is the cloying, almost saccharine flavor. Like, if you took one of those blue packets at the restaurant and just, like, wiped it on your lips, that's what it fucking tastes like. And it has a chemical component. And the other is, like all infused cigars, it does burn harsh in the back of your throat. Mm-hmm. And that, man, that doesn't go away. That's my biggest complaint. I don't care if it's a Drew Estate. I don't care if it's a Tatiana. I don't care what brand. You can't infuse a cigar without the oils and stuff that are used for that burning harshly. Mm-hmm. And you can just tell, right? Also, it has, you know, like the type of harsh and flavor. If you've smoked enough, you can easily tell the distinction between that and poorly aged tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what, you know, kind of disappoints me is the rest of the tobacco, like the tobacco the cigar is made out of, is actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they just left this fucker alone and sold it, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It would be a great stick. And the infused actually brings it down.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that more when we do the rating and stuff like that. For now, it is time for Cigar Wars 2025. And last week, we saw Johnny Midas nearly take a sweep of the whole thing. But you got to win under your belt.
Yeah.
So, you know, Buenaventura, good pick there. And, of course, what makes our Cigar Wars different from, like, all of the cigar drafts you see out there is we have a retailer, Tom, actually ranking them based on sales.
Yeah.
And it's a great reminder to all of our listeners out there that, you know, people that sell cigars actually have to turn a profit or the lounge goes away, right?
Right.
And so cigars are frequently stocked on how they sell, not how awesome, you know, fucking snobby cigar nerds think, which is why actually Tobacco on Main Street is like the mecca for Lanceros for 150-mile radius.
Yeah.
Because Lanceros traditionally don't sell. Cigar aficionados love them because of the
concentration of flavors.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, Tom kind of took advantage of that here, and we have a lot of Lanceros on the shelf, and so for the cigar aficionados that want one, come check it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you could sell cigars that nobody wants because of reasons. That's as far as I'm going to go with that.
Oh, come on, man. A little inside baseball there for our Ukrainian and New Zealand listeners. So it's time for the championship round, which, man, I hate that you feel so left out because both of these are my picks. You know,
this was rigged from the beginning.
I mean, I did make up the game and the rules, so it was a little rigged. But anyway, the championship round is between representing AJ Fernandez, New World, in the red corner. Ding, 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 ding. In the blue corner, Arturo Fuente, Hemingway.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to rumble!
By the way, I think that's copyrighted.
Am I going to have to?
I'm not sure. Like, dead
I'm
ass.
Probably gonna, yeah.
Dead I, ass. I'm pretty sure that's copyrighted.
You know what? I'm going to leave it in and see if I get a strike.
Okay.
Your interpretation.
Yeah.
It was close.
No, wait a minute. There is copyright law for, like, if you're making fun of something.
I guess
ha ha, that was the stupidest fucking intro ever.
Yeah.
So, fair use.
Fair use. Okay, well, that's under fair use because this is the one and only time we've used it semi-officially.
Anyway, so the championship round in Cigar Wars is the AJ Fernandez New World versus the Arturo Fuente Hemingway, two heavy hitters, and we saw some brilliant sticks go down. They went down swinging, but they went down. We had the Plasencia Alma Sixto. I mean, it's a good cigar, but does it outsell the Fuente Hemingway?
Right.
Nope. Bye, motherfucker. The Buena Ventura, which is affordable, great stick. We smoked that on the show a while ago. Perdomo Habano Sun Grown.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? The Drew Estate Java and the Drew Estate Acid, two infused cigars that sell.
Yeah.
Right? We both picked. You picked the Java, I picked the Acid.
Yeah. By the way, asterisk Rocky Patel.
The Rocky Patel Java by Drew Estate, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's who we have left. AJ Fernandez New World versus Arturo Fuente Hemingway. Tom, what's the verdict?
AJ.
Yeah. AJ Fernandez New World. Takes the fucking crown in 2025. You know, for next year, we're going to have to come up with a rule like you can't pick one that you picked last year.
Yeah, I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's the price point, because you can still get the AJ New World Toro for $10.
Yep.
Not the new AJ, though.
Not the new one. So, what about box sales, Tom?
Oh, yeah. The AJ New World Toro Gobernator is my number one seller.
Yep. Sounds about right.
The two sizes on the other side of it. My second and third bestsellers.
Well, and there's a lot of folks that buy boxes of Fuente as well. There's a lot of Fuente fans. But the good thing about the New World is, man, they're affordable. Boxes are affordable, you know.
I think that's the deciding factor. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have called that a tie.
Yeah. For Fuente, I buy boxes of, like, the Cuban Corona.
Those sell well here.
Yeah. I like the Chateau Fuente Natural Robusto.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great, affordable short smoke that's not bitter for a natural.
The whole, the short ones and the long ones both sell well, all three flavors. 858s move all day long.
Mm-hmm. But the 858 is already in the territory if I can't afford a box.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I can, but I don't want to.
Correct.
Get to the Hemingway. Love the Hemingways, but I don't care about the box discount. I'm not putting down $380, $400.
Once in a while, I'll throw down a box of Canone Maduros because I wanted a double digger, but I don't want a double digger.
Right.
This is that Canones is right up my alley.
Yeah, yeah. So, shout out to AJ. And we've smoked a lot of AJ cigars over this year.
Yeah.
Or AJ collabs or whatever. We had the GOAT. That one scored pretty good.
Yeah.
Nasser the good.
But it's kind of hard to smoke something that AJ literally
doesn't have his hands in.
It
is challenging. This, however, is not an AJ cigar. This is an Outcast cigar by Miami Cigar and Company. It's their newest thing. And we're going to critique a lot,
But before we do, let's talk about Miami Cigar and Company. So if you're not, you know, in the biz or whatever, let me tell you about this cigar brand. So it was founded in 1989 by Nestor and Mariana Miranda, along with Rene Castaneda. So everyone knows, not everyone, but a lot of folks in the industry know Nestor and Mariana.
Mm-hmm.
But Rene Castaneda was the co-founder of Miami Cigar and Company. They now distribute over 20 million cigars annually around the U.S. For a host of cigar makers, and they started out as a distributor.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, you know, the most famous cigar they distribute is the La Aurora. So
mm-hmm.
you can find those in cigar shops all over the U.S. That is distributed by Miami Cigar and Company. And, of course, you know, the big claim to fame is like, okay, so, you know, it's just about to be 40 years, right? So it's 35 years, 36 years going for the company. They have not sold. They're not owned by Scandinavian Tobacco Group, Altadis, General, or anything. No, they started their own thing. They have worked it up. They're still working it. And they've grown it to a very respectable player in the space. Now, sure, the big guys, their distribution starts with a B, not an M, right? Mm-hmm. But 20 million cigars is a lot of sticks to distribute. So they're doing great. The Nestor Miranda collection debuted in 1996. So they were basically distributing cigars for 7 years before they started doing their own stuff. And you probably heard of some of the other Miami Cigar and Company brands, like Tatiana. So almost everybody's heard of Tatiana. Almost every cigar shop you go in has got some Tatianas.
Yeah.
And they're famous, small, flavored.
Cigarillos.
Small cigars.
I have almost the full lineup.
Tom has almost the full lineup.
You have them just in tins, though, right?
No, actually, I don't have any of their tins. I have all of their, I don't even know what size it is. It's 5.5-6-inch cigar, but it's a fat Pennatella.
Yeah, yeah.
What you call that.
Yeah.
But it sells all day long.
Yeah, I have to look at your collection, then.
And I will say, if you like, you know, flavored infused cigars, I think the Tatianas are the perfect size.
Yeah, because it's quick smoke.
Yeah,
I like
because
it.
And they all have a good room note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly for if you have a mixed audience of non-smokers,
yeah,
they're going to appreciate those cigars.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun watching you guys talk about the flavors, smoking a cigar you don't care for. Me, I have to do that all day long because I have to figure out who wants this cigar.
Mm-hmm.
So think about who wants to smoke the cigar.
Yeah.
By the way, ignoring the flavored cap, this is a really good cigar.
It really is.
Like, I'm getting this richer, almost darker chocolate note
mm-hmm.
now, and the nuttiness has popped out. Also, the Don Lino. So Don Lino's not as popular of a cigar line. The Don Lino Africa, though, kind of made a splash in the hunting community because it's a seller. Like, so Nestor likes big game hunting in Africa,
nice.
So he came out with the Don Lino Africa. And it celebrates his love of big game hunting. It's a good cigar. And the Nestor Miranda Special Selection is their premium brand. It's pretty good. Hard to find. And, of course, Tatiana. So that's their big brand. And it's named after their daughter.
Yeah.
Tatiana Miranda. Now Tatiana Miranda Wood. Got married. And they're crafted in the Dominican Republic at the La Aurora factory. Top-selling flavored cigar in the U.S. And what's interesting about the Tatianas is they're all... there's one that's Mexican and Honduras, but all of the rest of them have a infused Sumatra wrapper with Dominican Republic binder and filler, and it's all hand-rolled long filler. So these are not Cuban sandwiches, they're not short filler, they're not cheap cigars. These are genuine cigars that are infused. Aromatic, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And they're all aged at least 2 years.
Yeah.
So they're using real tobacco. They're putting age on them. And you can tell because with this Outcast, like, if you can get past the infusion, damn, it's good tobacco.
Yeah.
Right?
It really is.
It is good tobacco. And it's got a great flavor profile.
So I had forgotten about the Don Lino. That one's actually blended by AJ as well.
Yes. Yep. That is an AJ blend. Smoke. Yep. By the way, Nestor was born in Cuba, immigrated to the U.S., and he had a lengthy career in alcohol before switching to cigars.
Nice.
They're adjacent. You know, that's really cool. So I'll bet you that he has got, you know, friends in the alcohol industry still. And that's just cool. Like, if you have a foot in both camps, you know, like, man, you know, you get the inside baseball on alcohols and cigars. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Look at alcohol. Want to open it?
Do you have something to open it with? Is it a cork or is it a...
I don't know.
Let's find out.
Oh, did you bring this?
I did.
Okay, this is a Penelope Special Barrel Project X Rated. And, there you go. That is pretty cool. And this is straight bourbon whiskey finished in Oloroso sherry and cognac casks. Double finish. 108 proof. Finishing cask Oregon, Jerez Spain, and cognac France. Awesome. So, Tom Cannon.
Bought her straight on the
hooking
label.
Hooking us up.
You know, pretty girl with a cigar, that's just...
Yeah. Pretty girl with a cigar on the label. It goes.
I literally thought this was a wine bottle.
It looks like it, but it is a regular cap. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hold on, I got you.
Tom? Thank you, sir. Nice. Skull, salut, slancha, bottoms up.
Here's us, we're fucking awesome.
And that is my new cheer. Here's to us, we're fucking awesome.
Okay, that's different.
That is really different.
But let me put an asterisk to that. I think the sweet cap fucked up part of the flavor.
Oh, for sure.
If you take, yeah.
You gotta like carve that part out.
Yeah, you can tell.
It doesn't taste like bourbon though.
Mm-mm.
It's right at the edge of warm, but not hot.
Yeah.
Fruity.
Very fruity.
It's much fruitier than bourbon. Normally is. I think that's the sherry and cognac finish.
Yeah. No, what was that?
So this is definitely a rye mash bill.
Mm-hmm.
Bourbon, you can tell from the, well, it tastes like rye bourbon.
You know what this reminds me of? I might be wrong. That bottle that you let us drink on the show the one day from
El
Septimo.
Oh yeah, that was a cognac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can it's surprising actually, the cognac notes. Mm-hmm. Considering it was just finished in sherry and cognac. So sherry is how would I describe sherry? Almost salty. You can taste a little bit of that. That's really good.
I thought it might help with the fruitiness you were already...
Yeah, injected, yeah. So,
bounce you out a little bit.
I don't think this is a drink for somebody that is a real, like, hardcore bourbon drinker, because it doesn't taste like bourbon. But as an alternative to, like, Highland whiskey, this is amazing.
I think a good dessert... bourbon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Instead of maybe like port.
Mm-hmm.
Have this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy port. I find it hard to pair with cigars because it's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always looking for alternatives. Little Manischewitz and a Manischewitz and a Maduro. Yeah. All right, it is time for our second break. When we come back, we will do our cigar news of the week. Keep your dial locked in to Burn Line Podcast. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Angel Solorio.
All right. On today's news of the week. Just as soon as I start a new headline, just Altus USA is lowering the price of Omar Ortiz. They are usually a fresh pack. They normally come in 3 packs, but you can find them individually. But you know, everybody's going the other way, raising prices, and they decided to lower the price on this one by 7%.
Not nothing.
So. And they're also introducing a new 3-pack. It's going to be a Maduro and an original. It's a 6x54 Toro, and it's $15.99. So I'm like, shit.
So $5 a stick.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. Okay. And then I know we got to throw in some bad news in there too, though. By the way, after I say this, you need to bring back what grinds my gear. Segment that you and Nick started. So, Maine is going to be raising their cigar taxes from 46% to 75%.
With no cap.
No cap.
Fucking morons. Watch all your tax revenue dry up.
So.
Goddamn communists.
And this part of my grind, my gears, breaking off a little bit real quick. I have a really big bone to pick with New England, like those New England states. The birth of freedom states are like literally the most restrictive and non-free states.
I've got a bone to pick with elected officials that think they can just fucking take money out of your pocket because you enjoy a legal hobby.
Yeah.
It's just immoral. It's just wrong. You don't get to fucking tax whatever the fuck you want. And then they're like, well, it's tobacco, so what? Right?
Yeah. Kind of like the cigarette thing. It's like, okay, I get it, but at the same time, even cigarettes, it's like people are choosing to do that. Like, what are cigarettes taxed at? Like, 200%?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because I don't know what an actual pack of cigarettes costs.
$14.
Yeah. It's like $14 and like 10 of that is taxes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit. Something I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right, my fault. Yeah, in Maryland. Yeah, it is more expensive here than it is in PA as well.
Yeah.
But,
thank you, progressives.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's very progressive. My Father Blue, the Garcia's first Honduran cigar.
Interesting.
It's going to be hanging to stores. So, it's called the Blue because of an homage to the blue Honduran flag. Blendwise uses a Connecticut broadleaf Rosado wrapper over a Honduran binder and Honduran filler. By the way, no shot on this one.
No wait. Shot on this one.
I think that's the first in a few weeks that it doesn't
wait
say.
Wait a minute. Is it a... It says a Connecticut Rosado.
Uh-huh.
I will bet you $1,000 it is grown in Ecuador. In mm-hmm. fact, it is probably grown by... shit. Not Oliva, the other company. We talked about this the other week.
Yeah, we
they
did.
Literally make a living selling Ecuadorian Connecticut shade, which they don't even put muslin over because of the cloud cover. And the Rosado, like, they're famous for that wrapper. I'll bet you it's not from Connecticut. I'll bet you it's from Ecuador. So I'm going to take a shot.
Yeah, okay. You just wanted to take a shot.
I just wanted to take a shot.
All right, so it's in 4 vitolas, all box pressed. So the first one's going to be a Petit Robusto 4.5x50, $9 a stick. The Robusto 5.25x54, $10.50. So it's an affordable stick. Who knows?
Not a Robusto.
Yeah. The Toro 6x54, $12, which is fucking great, honestly, for a Toro, $12. That's in our range that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And a Gordo 6x60 for $13. I'm like, dude, that is right up my fucking alley.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm down. So interesting. That's pretty good.
Well, I'm curious because I can definitely taste Yamastran tobacco. Like, it has its own flavor. But I'm not a huge fan of Honduran tobacco. And my father has, like, pretty picky, strict quality controls.
Mm-hmm.
And their flavors are usually pretty fucking good. And so I'm really interested how this is blended.
Yeah, I still want to try it. I mean, yeah. Those prices are super affordable.
Like, okay. Well, You know, because Honduran tobacco is a lot more affordable.
Yeah.
You know, that
helps. Like, my father's a premium brand. Like, mm-hmm. a premium brand.
Yeah.
They're not cheap. What, yeah. what was that? We had, like, what? Like, an $80 My Father, like, last year or something?
Did we? No, that was the La Union.
Okay.
That was, a $300 or $200.
Oh, sure. Yeah. My bad. My bad. Correction.
It was expensive.
But, like, as a affordable My Father, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm picking that up.
Mm-hmm.
So, normally they have their factory in SLE. These are in the new factory that was opened last year in Honduras.
Yeah, so My Father has a foothold there now.
Yes, yes, right. they do.
Yep.
All right. So, this is, normally we stick to, like, cigars and sticks, but every once in a while I talk about accessories. So, ST DuPont is releasing the Superman collection.
Oh,
because of the movie. So yeah. it's pretty cool. So I just figured I brought that up since we also talk about movies here every once in a while. Maybe we should do that, like a movie episode or something.
Yeah, we probably should. I heard that the Superman movie is getting some pretty cranky reviews.
It's getting mixed reviews, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the crankiness is just the normal like review bombing that's happening here lately.
I mean, it sounded to me like people are bringing the fucking make-believe culture wars into the movies again.
I don't know. I need to watch it.
Yeah, there's some complaint. Like the Barbie, you remember how many people complained the Barbie movie was like, you know, like the way they portrayed Ken was like anti-masculine.
But yes, think about this though. This movie was not for me and you. Barbie is not a movie for me or you or for a teenage boy or for a 20-something-year-old boy. This movie's for a girl. So it's like, that's why you got to see it in that light. It's not like it's anti-masculine. It's like, hey, what is the original Barbie message? A girl can do it too. It's like, okay, why would I be mad about that?
But my point is people bringing, like, basically, like, make-believe fake politics designed to distract us from what's really going on
in
the movies, and I feel like they're doing that with the new Superman movie.
Yeah. I don't know.
So it almost makes me want
to
watch it.
I need to watch it because I want to know.
I think boiled down is because the director wanted to make Superman a little more vulnerable, and people aren't used to seeing that.
That's all right. Superman's not
cool anyway. Like, the original Superman... Like, he was incredibly humble, just a normal dude from farming Kansas, who, you know, like, but that's the problem, right? With the whole, I have a whole other podcast, a quality podcast, where we do business stuff, and I was talking about this with Jake, my partner, business partner, co-host in my other life, and we were talking about this bullshit fake vulnerability. Like, I think it peaked... Because you don't hear about it as much anymore, but this stupid, like, be vulnerable at work. I'm like, motherfucker, you're the CEO. You're not vulnerable. It's fake.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you can say be humble. You can say listen to other people. Stop thinking that you're, you know, the cat's meow or whatever. Stop being a dick. But you're not vulnerable. You know, it's like this douche canoe got on, like, the social media a couple years ago and was like, sitting at his island in his Malibu home or something, crying, like, I had to let people go last night. And it's like, shut the fuck up. He got such a terrible backlash. But it's fake vulnerability. Like, you're not vulnerable. You have all the power. You're in control. It's fake, right? So that's a tough thing to do, especially if you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of movie directors and scriptwriters actually aren't good with people. They're fucking nerds. And they don't understand psychology very well, which is why you watch a lot of movies and you're like, wow, this character is fucking retarded, right? And it's really hard to portray, like, how do you portray someone that is literally invincible, just about damn near invincible, but is loving and kind and humble?
Well, I think part of it was more of, if he's invincible, how do you have a threat?
Yeah.
To it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, so, and, but...
All right, pull it back a little bit. Now there's a fight.
But that's also the thing is, like, because originally, the original Superman, which, you know, was written by a couple of Hebrews, was a political commentary against the Ubermenschian theory that was sweeping Europe and powering the Nazi Party. And basically it was, no, here's a real Superman. This is what a real Superman looks like. Okay. He actually is invincible, you know, but he's a good person, right? That's hard to do. So, anyway, the point I was making was, I'm so fucking tired of people, like, critiquing movies on the basis of the fake culture wars, which the media foists upon us to keep us from paying attention to the government raping us.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if we can just get them fighting with each other over who gets to use what bathroom, they'll forget the fact that, you know, the politicians are stealing from their great-grandchildren, you know, or whoever's going to pay this off, right?
Yeah.
So that was the point that I was making.
All right, so real quick. This is a question for the whole room. Who's your favorite Superman, live action?
Oh, favorite actor for Superman?
Yeah, that includes the TV shows. I have two.
I gotta go Henry Cavill.
I was gonna say Henry Cavill too. Like, the movie wasn't great, but
Henry Cavill,
he portrayed it good.
So everybody forgets this person also played Superman. Dean Cain was a pretty good Superman.
Yeah, Dean Cain was pretty good. Lois and Clark?
Lois, like, 90s, right?
Yeah, Lois and Clark. He actually was
a pretty good. So the issue with Superman nowadays is he's got three or four movies in him, then he ages out.
Mm.
But I think this guy is either going to be the last Superman or the next to last Superman we see, because after that he's going to be AI.
Yeah. I see that being a real thing.
But Christopher Reeve was a dope, like...
He was good.
He was, like...
Christopher Reeve was
good. He also had the pleasure of, I don't know what, a 30-year absence of Superman being on the screen.
Right.
So people were starving for it. Now they would only wait, like, 5 or 6 years. Well, the next generation...
Unpopular opinion, worst Superman?
What, me?
Well, guess who I'm going to say.
I don't know.
Tom Welling.
Was that the Superman Returns?
No, that was Smallville.
But he wasn't Superman, though. He was Clark Kent.
Yeah, whatever.
That's Superman.
Whatever.
Yeah, but he wasn't Superman, though.
Whatever.
I thought he was a good Clark Kent, like a mid-teenage...
I thought the TV show was pretty awesome.
Yeah, like, he was a good teen adult. Like,
I didn't care for him.
Okay.
His eyes didn't look right.
Yeah, he looked like kind of looked like a drug addict.
Yeah.
Like,
so...
Nothing personal, dude. I'm sure you're beautiful.
It's like Pierce Brosnan as James Bond. All right, you got the swab. Yeah. You don't have the size.
Yeah, you're not James Bond.
I did like Pierce Brosnan, though.
Like,
oh, he had the swab. He right next to Sean, he had the swab.
But he wasn't James Bond.
You're missing 100 pounds and 6 inches.
Yeah.
All right, so to finish off that story, the lighter, do you want to guess the price?
$2,000.
You're right.
Yeah, nailed it.
So 1995, but yes, 2000.
It was funny because I was thinking, oh, that's going to add $1,000 to the price.
All right.
To be fair, I own one, so I do kind of know the price.
Right. So, and then an executive, like, roller pen. Want to guess?
A roller pen? Mm-hmm. Superman? I don't know. $500?
Damn, you're cold.
$1,600?
Yeah, so $1,700.
$1,700 for a pen?
For a pen.
I mean, I'll buy a $1,600 pen, but it needs to have, like, fucking golden rubies and shit on it.
And work on the space shuttle.
And underwater.
All right.
And while I'm drunk, needs to auto-sign for me.
Auto-pen.
Needs to auto-pen for me.
Biden's got that one out. Oh, shit.
And canceled in 3, 2... Are you done?
We sidetracked
your fucking thing.
But it was a good sidetrack.
Yeah, it was a good sidetrack. Yeah. It was a good sidetrack.
All right, last one. So, back to cigars. So, Diamond Crown is releasing the Tampa next week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting, yes. So, didn't they... They mentioned that at PCA 2025. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously they're the Ed Rollo.
Yep.
Jason Newman. So, Diamond Crown's their flagship cigar. Pretty pricey. So,
well, like, a Diamond Crown is running, what, like, $18 these days?
Yeah.
Small one
is 18, yeah.
Diamond Crown is not cheap.
18 to 24.
Yeah. Well, all Diamond Crowns are, you know, Fuentes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is also made by Fuente, as well, obviously.
Yeah, Ashton, Diamond Crown, Fuente.
What?
Are all made by Fuente.
Yeah. So... The filler includes some Florida sun-grown tobacco, though. From the... I can't pronounce
it. Oh, from...
This is you.
Well, the
20-acre
farm.
Oh, the Boris...
I figured you would...
The 20-acre farm in Claremont, Florida. Yes,
yeah, right.
Tom got it.
Do you know how to pronounce that name?
He's Polish. No. Nobody knows how to pronounce
it. I figured you would at least.
You can't pronounce
it. It's 17 consonants followed by the chemical symbol for boron. Nobody knows how to pronounce it.
Borsowitz.
Borsowitz, yeah.
I guess
Borsowitz. It's Polish for Smith. For Smith.
So that's the easiest Polish last name in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fuck. So, yeah, so yeah, his, yeah, so obviously, so part of the 20 Acre Farm and Arturo Fuente. So it's a badass collab. And some of the other blenders, other stuff in there that is undisclosed. So, I'm not sure what that means.
Well, no, that's typical Fuente.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they don't disclose dick. They're old school cigar makers. Mm-hmm. You know, supply chain is
garbage. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this. Like, the end thing now is like, you know, I mean, you go to a restaurant. Like, this is Hanover, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Bumfuckville, you know, Farmville, whatever. Nice small town. And we go to this brunch place, and it's like in an old farmhouse, you know, only open for brunch. And they're like, oh, these chicken eggs came from, you know, the such and such family farm, and the duck was raised locally by, like, it's the in thing, yeah. And it's spilling over into cigars. Like, people want to scan a QR code that says, you know, like,
there's a story behind your eggs and bacon.
Yeah, like, Miriam rolled your cigar on her virgin thighs, you know, or something like that. So I do think some of the legacy manufacturers are missing out on that.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it still works for them.
It works for them, and it's, you know,
Fuente marketing.
It's just Fuente.
Yeah. So it's gonna be one size only, 6x52 Toro, coming at $30 a stick.
Wait, what are we talking about?
The Diamond Crown Tampa.
Sorry, we got sidetracked.
Yeah. Okay. Again.
Diamond Crown Tampa is one Vitola.
Mm-hmm. 6x52, $30.
It's a little steep, but I say we get it on the show.
So, okay.
Worth it.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to, because it's not being offered everywhere. So, I don't know if it's...
Well, there are some Diamond Crown lounges in the area.
We got some connections.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's not even going to be that either. I'm not done yet. So, it'll be launching at the Corona Cigar Company in Tampa,
mm-hmm.
which is owned by the...
Mm-hmm.
That family... The Smith family from Poland.
The Borosikovichis.
Yeah, yes. Family. So, and it was actually the Davidoff store before. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so, and then they're going to be releasing it to the other Diamond Crown
lounges.
But that. Not here right away. Not the ones nearby right away.
No, it's like dispersed. Like, it's being dispersed, like, one region at a time.
Yeah, kind of thing. So slow release. And then just something...
That means limited quantities.
Yeah. It is limited quantities, I'll bet, yeah.
And then July 15th, that Tuesday, is also the 138th anniversary of Tampa.
Oh, yeah, so when this show airs, that's tomorrow. But when this show airs, that will have been a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 138th anniversary of Tampa. Mm-hmm. How about that? 138 years ago, it was a bunch of pirate trails, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was swamps.
Yeah,
it was swamps and shit.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so nothing like modern technology to turn a swamp into a cocaine haven. All right, so thanks for those cigar news of the week. Well, let's get back to this cigar. We're smoking the new Outcast cigar by Miami Cigar and Company. And, you know, the big deal with this cigar is it's got a fucking sweet cap mm-hmm. on it. And, if you don't like that, stay away.
Yeah.
Right? If you do like it, this is probably the best example of one you can get. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. Let's do some tasting notes before we rank it. I'm at a 6 for strength. For the flavor, we usually do simple, which is one or two notes all the way through. Mid, which is, you know, 3, 4, 5 flavors. Maybe one drops off, one picks up. It's not really a flavor changer.
Mm-hmm.
And then complex, which is an actual flavor changing first third, second third, third cigar. Mm-hmm. And I have this as a mid.
I would say straight mid.
Yeah, straight mid.
It's the same notes the whole way through.
Pretty much 5 or 6 notes. There's a couple of, you know, like the... I tasted like butter and cocoa to start that mm-hmm. turned into... like a dark chocolate covered almond. And of course, you can't get around that fucking sweet cap.
Correct.
I might as well say that. There's a nice vanilla flavor that is not fake. It's like from the tobacco, vanilla adjacent.
Yeah. You know,
it's not like fucking sticking your nose against the vanilla extract bottle or something.
The hay.
The hay, yeah. So good mid flavor. cigar. And then the body is mid-full. Like, it's a good mouthful of smoke. It's nice and chewy. Any additional flavors or notes?
No, it's literally the same thing the whole way through. Just the biggest thing is just sweetness the whole way.
I think the...
Did the cap wear off yet?
No.
It has not worn off one bit.
Sometimes they do about halfway through.
Nope. This is going strong.
It hasn't worn off. I will say the whiskey helped tremendously by deadening my palate in the back of my throat. Before the whiskey, and this is the Project X special barrel from Penelope.
By the way, your band came off easy?
Yeah, band came off just fine.
Oh, sure. I'm over here.
I mean, it's glued, but it's not glued to the wrapper.
Yeah.
Before that, like, the harshness on the back of the throat was really challenging. It's better with whiskey, and I would recommend smoking this with some spirits, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Definitely not alone.
Okay, so let's talk about presentation. I like the presentation on the cigar. I think it's above average.
Mm-hmm.
The box is fine. The cello is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The band stands out. The one thing that I will say is, like, if you're a cigar nerd, all three of us immediately recognize this is a dyed wrapper. It doesn't add value.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of us cares, and we all suspect a cigar with a dyed wrapper.
I don't know why that's a thing. I wish
it wasn't. I don't know why it's a thing.
I wish it wasn't.
I think it dramatically detracts from the presentation.
Stares at a certain cigar company.
What are you trying to hide?
Well, yeah, what are you trying to hide? And then it's like, you know, so what is this for fucking, you know, people that don't smoke cigars? Like, we all know. All the people that smoke cigars know.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like that one cigar, I won't say it out loud, but it did a huge disservice to it. Like, the black dye literally rubs off on your fingers and lips.
Oh, you know who does the, so the slurry?
Okay.
You know where, so you take the clippings.
Okay.
You put them in liquid and make a slurry,
and
you dip your, right? The El Septimo Botticelli, 100%. Like, it's coming off on my fingers.
Yeah.
It's just brown, right? Okay. They didn't go for dark. I don't need that. You know, it's a tobacco leaf. Of course, it has different colors.
Right, well, if we're calling out cigar companies, well, the Prince Hall, like, what the fuck?
Oh, the Prince Hall, yeah, terrible.
Jesus.
Dark, dyed black. I mean, it's coming off on your lips and
your
fingers. I just thought it was like,
give your wife a kiss after a cigar that way.
but here's the thing. Prince Hall is black Masonic lodges because there was racism.
Mm-hmm.
Even among Masons, which sounds terrible. Like, how can you believe what you say you believe and have separate lodges? But to this day, it's actually in the Texas State Masonic Charter that no blacks.
Really?
Yeah, even though they don't, you know, they don't abide by it.
Yeah.
They also are too conservative to change it.
Yeah.
That's how it's always been, right? So you have a cigar that is dedicated to African Americans that, you know, joined the Masonic ranks at
mm-hmm.
peril of being a non-affiliated lodge, and you're going to dye the wrapper black. That just seems like so fucking, are you kidding me? You know, like, that is tone deaf. That's just me. But yeah, terrible, terrible experience. Anyway, for presentation on this cigar, I've got a 4, and it probably would be a 6 if it wasn't for the dyed wrapper, which just really drags it down.
Honestly, I was going for a 6 because of the dyed wrapper. You went lower.
Yeah.
Do you want to go 5?
5, call it even?
Yeah. Yeah,
we can do a 5.
Because I thought it was a cool look until I realized, like, the pictures, you didn't realize it was dyed, but, like, the overall presentation online looked pretty cool.
Well, and the other thing that I really hate is, like, the cello is attractive,
yeah.
But it also hides the fact that it's a dyed wrapper. And then as soon as you take it out of the cello, you're like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need a dyed wrapper.
It's a great cello, and then
yeah,
this is what I get.
Yeah, so it's like hiding something on top of hiding something, you know? So that brings us to construction, and I don't think I can take any points off.
No, it's good. I didn't lose anything.
It's well constructed.
It's got a lot of fucking shoulder, though.
It does have a lot of shoulder.
I'm okay with that, yeah.
So just a straight 10
yeah,
on construction.
It was good. Yeah.
Draw was good. Mm-hmm. Smoke output was good. Wrapper was good. There was no bubbles, pinholes. We didn't crack the wrapper, anything like that. The one thing I'll give it is it's a little bit spongy, but yeah, it's not enough to take off points. That brings us to price at $10.50 for Robusto. I just think that's average. I think that's a straight five.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? Like
five. I'm down with that.
It could be lower only because what are you getting for your average price? And to me, it's an average cigar. It's not below average.
It's unusual because it's somewhere between a Tatiana price point and an acid Cuba price point.
I think that if you like flavored cigars, this is a great price. I think if you don't like flavored cigars, there's no price that's right.
No.
I think five is a fair rating there. So that brings us to flavor. So flavor and experience, those are the two subjective ones, right?
Yeah.
Here's my thing on flavor. I can taste the actual tobacco fighting against all the artificial bullshit that they saddled this cigar with. And oh my God, like this is good tobacco, dude. The wrapper is good. The binder is good. The filler is good. Why would you mess with it? I really feel like they took a great thing and wrecked it by putting a sweet cap that won't go away, never ends. And the dyed wrapper doesn't help either. And then you end up with this harshness in the back of your throat from this aromatic bullshit, you know, the infusing. That's normal, right? Good luck with the retrohale. Like I said, bring some whiskey to deaden your palate so that you can enjoy it. Man, I just, like, this is a struggle because the actual tobacco is great tobacco. Mm-hmm. And the flavors are great. But then you're just fighting this artificial, it's like, here's what I would say. Let's say that you had a creme brulee made by hand at home. You got the fucking propane torch. You're crisping the top. And you sweeten it with fucking Sweet and Low.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. It's like, oh my God, why did you do that? You know? That's what they did with this cigar. They took a nice dessert and fucking dumped Sweet and Low on it instead of sugar. Right?
What the hell, man?
What the hell? So
when you think about the price point, that's what they're trying to do, is to get you, instead of going from Tatiana to Cuba Cuba and asking you to double your wallet, we're only going to ask for 50% more.
Yeah, something like that.
So,
and I would, while we're on the subject of flavor, this goes into like presentation branding as well. Man, I think that they would be miles ahead if this was actually in the Tatiana line.
Yeah.
Like, this is basically a Tatiana turned into a real cigar instead of a tiny one.
Seriously.
They could call it like Tatiana Grand or something. And dude, the Groovy Blue, they don't make that anymore, do they?
They still do. Oh, yeah.
Do they still make the Groovy
Blue? Yeah.
It's like the top one. If they advertise this as like a full-size Groovy Blue, I'll bet they would sell more.
Oh, yeah.
And it reminds me of a Groovy Blue. All
right.
They do make Groovy Blue in regular Toro and like a, some kind of pyramid about the same size as a Toro.
That's what this is, to be honest with you. I mean, the flavor's not exactly the same. It's been a long time since I smoked
it. Let me give you the flip side of what you just said, because I do enjoy flavored cigars. Not all the time, but I can enjoy it. So, compare this to, you've probably had them, Hawaiian Breeze?
Smoked one.
Have you had one? Probably not.
I think smoked one.
Yeah, so.
I try to stay educated.
Yeah. So, this is probably better than the Hawaiian Breeze, which is that other flavored.
Yes. I did not. That one was not in my palate at all, but. Again.
Yeah. So if you're a flavored cigar connoisseur, I would definitely pick this up, though.
I'd say,
enjoy flavors.
No. Let's change that. If you're a flavored cigar fan, because you cannot be a connoisseur and enjoy flavored cigars. I'm sorry, and I'm not. Well, I guess I'm being a snob.
You're being a snob.
I guess I'm being
agree
a snob.
With that, because by the time you get to wanting to experience better flavored cigars, you're ready to make the jump and start smoking non-flavors.
Yes. So, for it's like saying I like Pop-Tarts. You can like Pop-Tarts, but you are not a connoisseur. You're a fan of Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean that they're bad, but there's no fucking way you can call yourself a connoisseur.
Okay.
That's my take on it.
Great example, the little bakery up the street, Starry Light.
Yeah.
They do a $12 Pop-Tart. that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's phyllo dough,
handmade
fruit,
yeah,
preserves,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yeah.
I gotta go hit them up. But anyways, okay. If you're a flavored cigar fan, I would definitely pick this up. This would be in my rotation. Because I would enjoy this. Like, if you, exactly, if you enjoy a groovy blue, or if you're not in the mood for, like, a very, very powerful acid, because acids are super powerful in flavor.
This is not as flavored as an acid.
No.
It's, I know they say aromatic. I don't, like, I taste the harsh in the back of the throat that comes from burning those oils off.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste infused. It does taste like a fucking sweet cap.
Yeah. What was that? Insidious made a sweet cap, too, didn't they?
This reminds me more of like a Deadwood.
Yeah. But Deadwoods are a little bit sweeter than this, though.
I don't know. I think the sweet cap, I would say the sweet cap is the same, but the tobacco is sweeter.
Yeah. This almost reminds me of a Sweet Jane.
You got a lot
yeah,
of
Sweet Jane.
You got a lot of first responders.
Yeah.
That like flavored stuff, and this might be right in there with
yeah,
the
same thing with the bikers, man.
Yeah. That audience also.
Oh, and it's called Outcast. Perfect.
Well, yeah, exactly.
By the way, does anybody know where the fucking Wildcat on the label comes from? It's not anywhere on the website. I don't know what the
Florida
is.
Do they have cats in Florida, don't they?
That's where the Eastern...
Like big cats. Yeah, don't they have big cats?
I think, like...
That's where the Eastern cats lived for 100 years. So
yeah.
Populated enough to move back up the East Coast.
Yeah. I think they did. Like, the Florida Panther was famous. That's what Florida Panthers came
yeah,
from.
Right.
But it's like the California Bear. There's not any left. But,
well, they are up there. They're back up to Maine now. It took 100 years.
They're in the
to do
zoo.
It.
But, yeah.
No, I'm telling you, they're here.
But anyway, for flavor, I mean, I've got a 5 because the tobacco is great. I have a 2 for my personal palate. I can't, you know, like, I literally couldn't finish this cigar without a whiskey to literally deaden my palate so I can't get this harshness when I try to retrohale.
Yeah.
The sweet cap is just, it all over my fucking lips. It's disgusting. I don't know how people do this. I think 5 is the fairest I can get. I don't know. What are you thinking?
Okay. As a non-flavored person, probably a 5. As a flavored person, probably like a 7 or 8. I gotta get both sides.
All right, so we'll do a 6. How about that?
Yeah,
we'll give it a 6. It's just really disappointing because
I agree.
If they just sold this as a red and don't dye it, don't sweet cab it, don't aromatic it, it would be a great cigar.
It never justify the $10.
It just detracts from what it could be.
Yeah,
like I can see this being a 38-40. If it was just a cigar, because it's great tobacco.
Dude, it really is.
And they, I don't know, right? It doesn't enhance the experience for most of the cigar smokers I know, right? So that brings us to experience. By the way, the secondhand smoke on this is interesting. It definitely is aromatic. Like, I would caution people against smoking this in a lounge, mm-hmm, because you're going to be offensive,
yeah,
to other lounge smokers. But it doesn't taste like, it doesn't smell like cat piss. You know, we smoked a few cigars on here. Actually, wasn't it the CAO Thunderstick, the African one, where the secondhand smoke, you're like, holy shit, I'm going to have to undress in the garage.
Yeah, this thing's...
I think it was, yeah, the secondhand was terrible. It's not like that. But it's
part of us.
Yeah, but it smells like an infused cigar, and it's going to ruin the aromatic experience for people around you. So, at 10:50, you know, I mean, in this day and age, that's kind of a dog walker. Cigars are just expensive nowadays.
Yeah.
I think you can do a lot with this. If you're into flavored cigars, you can ride your bike, you can mow the lawn, you can go fishing. I'm still more in the like $7 range for fishing and stuff. Maybe go golfing with it. It's definitely like the lack of pepper in it means I think you can do some slightly athletic stuff without feeling green around the gills.
Yeah.
Caution you against smoking into the lounge, but back porch is fine.
Yeah, it's a good summer cigar.
Good summer cigar.
Chocolate from across the room.
Yeah.
And not an offensive chocolate at that. You know, whereas a groovy blue would just light this place up for a week.
Yeah, yeah. Good. So it's a little lighter than like
yeah,
a touch.
Yeah, it's not unpleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of more think you're over there smoking pipe tobacco.
Yeah. Obviously, this is not something you would give your friend to smoke. Certainly not any gift, celebration, fancy occasion, something like that. So it's missing on the top end. But you can watch the ball game with it. I think it really comes down to you if you can tolerate a sweet cap.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, I have a low tolerance for, right? So I'm kind of like in the 6 range for experience.
I agree. I'll give you that on 6.
Like a 6.
I would say who you would gift it to is a guy that does smoke regular Tatianas. You're up in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a non-cigar smoker.
Yeah, but Tom also brings up a good point, which is, like, they're competing against themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tatiana does have, like, actual cigar vitola Tatianas. Like, they're famous for the smaller ones.
Yeah.
The
minis.
Yeah, and you know, the truth is, the folks I know that smoke flavored cigars, they love that vitola. Because they're not like, let's sit in the lounge and talk philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I'm doing something.
What
you
I
know.
Wish they'd do bigger is their Tatiana Tangerine. They only make it in the mini cigarettes.
Yeah, that is a good one.
It is a fantastic, oh, I have 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a you know nice hint of you know citrus.
Yeah.
It does,
yeah.
When you do citrus right, it goes well with tobacco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one they got right. I would be very interested to try that one in a bigger size.
Well, in the old days, I don't think they do this anymore, but in Cuba, when they were humidifying their tobacco, they used to put lemon juice in there a lot to kill stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And so you would end up with a slightly citrus flavor on a lot of these leaves, and it does go well with tobacco.
Yeah.
You know. But that brings the total score for the new Outcast from Miami Cigar & Company to a 32. I think here's the wrap up for folks. That's a decent score.
Yeah, but it is.
I think the takeaway and the wrap up for our audience is if you like a sweet cap, if you like the Fat Bottom Betty, the Sweet Jane, you know, something like that, pick it up, dude. Like this is good quality tobacco.
Yeah.
And it will compete with any flavored cigar, any sweet tip that you're smoking. I do like that, you know, they say aromatic. I can tell it's infused from the harshness,
mm-hmm.
but you can't really taste an infused flavor. You can smell it on the secondhand smoke, but not when you're actually tasting it. And so it's much more enjoyable than an acid or something, where it's like, oh, this is a flavored cigar.
Yeah.
Right? So I would check it out. And if you're not into that, I mean,
this isn't for you.
Just pass by, you know? And so this is one of the rare occasions where I don't think our score is accurate.
Right.
I think that if you are into sweet-tipped flavored cigars, this is a top-notch one. And if you're not, why would you fucking bother with it?
Yeah, anymore? And it sucks to say that, too.
Yeah.
Because it's a great stick.
So the only thing that I think if the local tobacconist is keeping this, like, in the same humidor as the flavored shit, that's a dead giveaway, but without that, I'm very disappointed that the packaging doesn't say this is
right.
a fucking flavored cigar.
Right.
Right. You know, like the Tatianas, it says tangerine, grape, you know, whatever.
Mm. Or at least in the description, it says, hey, this is a sweet cigar or something.
Yeah. So I would like to see
this
the packaging.
This doesn't say that at all.
Yeah.
Not even the website.
What you might end up happening is someone looks at it and they're like, this looks kind of cool. It's affordable. I'm going to try it out. And then they light it up in the lounge and like, oh my God, Tom, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Right?
So if you're a tobacconist listening to this, like, you need to tell people, hey, this is Sweet Cat.
Well, I'll tell you from my experience. You have people that like Sweet Caps and flavored cigars.
Yeah.
And people that don't. The number of people that can go either way, very, very small.
Yeah.
You know, I'll meet, you know, like for me, I will smoke, what is that one, not the Java, what's the other coffee flavored one?
Tabak.
The Tabak. I will smoke a Tabak in the morning, especially with a coffee with cream, and it's like a dessert. I will do that like once a quarter or something, and I know a lot of guys like that.
Do you like Nuance?
I don't think I've had that.
That's Oliva's coffee infused.
Yeah, I don't think I've had that one.
They're little ones that they stopped making her. Awesome.
Yeah, they were really good.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think like, you know, there's folks that I'm a cigar smoker. I'll occasionally dip into an infused cigar for like a special occasion kind of thing.
The Tabac Negro with 3 or 4 years age on it is freaking awesome. Because with all the flavor infused stuff, if you let it sit, the flavor infused is the first thing to fade.
Right, right.
It becomes a nice hint instead of the overriding.
Yeah, instead of slap your mama flavor, yeah. So that's my takeaway is like, actually a 32 is not a fair ranking for this. If you like sweet caps and infused cigars, man, this is a good one to try. If you don't, then don't bother. Yeah. So there you go, folks. Thanks for joining us on Burnline Podcast. We will see you again next week.